Father, we praise you for this wonderful morning that you have made. We praise you for the privilege to be gathered together here in the name of Jesus, worshiping you, lifting high his name, declaring him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Father, we praise you for the salvation that he purchased for us at Calvary. Thank you for his shed blood that pays the price for all our sins. We praise you he was willing to die for us in our place, that we could be set free, cleansed from our sins, forgiven, and on our way to heaven. And we thank you for all these great blessings that you have given us as your children. And Father, as we've been singing, we're in the battle. We're in a spiritual warfare against the enemy of our souls. And the scripture tells us about this. We pray that we would put on that gospel armor like we just sang each day, ready to face the foe and to have victory as we proclaim his truth, proclaim your truth against the evil that he brings and bring the righteousness of Christ instead. We pray that we will honor you today in this service and that we will clearly proclaim your word. Thank you for Pastor. Pray that you'd fill him with your spirit as he speaks, as he shares what you have given him to bring today. May it minister to us, encourage us, lift us to your throne, and challenge us, whatever each of us needs. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you for each person who could be here today. And we pray that this hour will be of tremendous benefit to all as we focus on you. And we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Isaiah chapter 40 and beginning at verse 12. We covered the first part of this chapter last week. We'll finish it up now today. So Isaiah chapter 40, beginning at verse 12. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? And meted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he takes up the isles at a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beasts thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. To whom then will ye liken God? Or what likeness will you compare unto him? The workman melts a graven image, the goldsmith spreads it over with gold, casts silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he has no oblation chooses a tree that will not rot. He seeks unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted, yea, they shall not be sown, yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither. And the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will you liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who has created these things, that brings out their hosts by number? He calls them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power. Not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, Speakest, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There's no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Let's pray together. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this wonderful portion of Scripture that we see your greatness, your power, your might. There is none like you, Lord. You are the only one. You're the one who has created all things. You're the one who has made us. And we are your people. We thank you for all that we have through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that he was willing to come to this earth and to take our place on the cross and to die in our place that we might have everlasting life. And we thank you that he's alive today in heaven, waiting to come back and to take us home. We just thank you, Father, for all your goodness to us today. We pray that you'll bless each and every one who is here, that we might be strengthened, that we might be encouraged, that we might be comforted in our need to know you better. Lord, we pray for those who are sick today. We pray that you might touch and heal them, strengthen them, meet their needs in every way. We do pray for our country today, our Father. We ask you to undertake for the leadership of the nation that they might lead us in the right direction and that your will might be accomplished through it all and help us to be faithful in living for you day by day. Lord, we just ask you to guide and help today, bless your word, and speak to each and every heart. You know each one of our needs, and we just pray that you will meet that spiritual need in our heart today, whatever it might be. Pray for any who may not know Christ as their Lord and Savior, that this would be the day of salvation. Lord, we praise you and thank you for all your goodness to us. Do be with our missionaries who are carrying the gospel to other parts of the world. We pray that you'll use them in a mighty way to bring many to Christ. And may your holy will be done today in each one of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn once again to our text in Isaiah chapter 40. The last verse of this chapter, of course, is very familiar, I'm sure, to many of us, and comforting. A comforting verse. It says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. This is a very comforting and helpful verse as we think about the Lord and all that he means to us. This morning we want to notice this portion of Scripture and what it means here as we lead up to this comforting verse, talking about the character of God and asking questions. If you notice when I read it a while ago, the Lord asked one question after another. And there's nothing wrong with asking questions. You know, and all through the Bible we find there were many that asked God questions. Abraham did, Noah, David, Job, and so many more. There are many questions that we have in our minds, and sometimes maybe we figure, well, you know, maybe I'd better not say anything. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. God, he's asking questions here to these people that lived way back there. When the time when they were actually in Babylon as captive by the Babylonians, and so it wasn't a very pleasant time. And yet the Lord is pointing out to them who he is. All of these questions that we have. I was reading online, and I got a little outline from one another preacher. It's very simple, and I think this is good. It touches on what we're talking about here. To whom will you liken God? Okay. The question is, He is Lord of creation. We'll see that. He is Lord of the nations, and he is Lord of his people, those who belong to him. So we see the character of God. Back in verse 12, he says, who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Who does it? Who meted out the heaven with a span and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who did all that? To show the certainty of his great promise, the prophet reminds the people of who God really is. The character of God. His power is infinite. He's the one who created all this, wasn't it? We didn't do it. You know, and there's no way that we could add to what God has done. Mankind can tear down what God has done without any trouble, but we can't add anything to it, can we? You know, and he's the one who is the great and mighty creator. So he's the one who has put all this together. His wisdom is perfect. It says, who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, has taught him? Who helps God to know what to do? What do you think? He already has it, right? The big words that they use, what? He's omniscient. He knows everything. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. And what's the other one? Omnipotent, right? All right. All powerful. And so God is the one to whom we must give account. He's the one to whom we look in this way. His dominion is unlimited. It goes on down in verse 15. I love this expression. It says, behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket. You know, you have a bucket, you dump it out, and there's always a little bit left over. Well, that's the nations, right? As far as God's concerned, he is so great in his power and might. It says, they're counted as the small dust of the balance. Like on a scale, you've got the dust that forms. Well, that's mankind, as far as in the sight of God, Almighty God. And he is the one who is altogether great and righteous in everything that he does. So the greatness of God is manifest in creation and in nature. I was reading the first part of Genesis this week, thinking about the creation, all that God did in making all of this. In nature, he did it all. He alone has made all things. And a man is weak and incapable of helping God create anything. Now you say, well, why are you speaking about man in this way? You know that we're nothing. Well, that means in comparison with God. Now I know we all have our value. We all have our pluses, our assets, as well as our liabilities. But man needs God above all else, right? We need him. And he's the one who has made everything. God is the one who is in charge. Look with me, if you would, for a minute, in Job 38. This is one where he asks a lot of questions, and then God answers him. Job 38, and beginning verse 1. Job has been asking a lot of questions of the Lord with all of his suffering that he went through. He lost his family. He lost his children and his health. So many things. And now Job has questions. And the Lord is answering him here. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge?" How you like that? Huh? Who is this that's talking to me that doesn't know what he's doing? You know, that's what he's saying here. You don't understand, and none of us really fully understand, do we, what's going on all around us? "Gird up now your loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare, if you have understanding. Who has laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest, or who has stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the corner stone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut up the sea with doors when it broke forth as if it had issued out of the womb? When I made the cloud the garment thereof, thick darkness, a swaddling band for it, and break up for it my decreed place, and set bars and doors." He says, "Where were you? You know, Job, where are you, old man, thinking about God, you know, and who he is, and we place other gods up?" Talks about that here as well. Those who make other gods instead of the true and living God. And then we find here that this is the comparison he makes of God to the idols in verse 18. "To whom then will ye liken God? Or what likeness will you compare unto him?" Our God's the only one who is the true and living God, the unseen God. And all the other gods are lifeless creations of man. He goes on here talking about this. Verse 19, he says, "A man makes a graven image. The goldsmith spreads it over with gold. He has silver chains and he makes it all beautiful." You know, you've seen some of these gods that people bow down before, in other nations especially. But we have other gods as well, don't we? Huh? Those greenbacks that we put in our billfold sometimes can become a god, can it? Some of our other pursuits of life, we place them in the place of God. We need to realize that that's useless and vain. It doesn't really amount to anything. "He that is so impoverished," it says, "that does not have an offering, chooses a tree that will not rot, seeks unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved." So, you know, even the poor people, they find some way, something to worship. You know, mankind wants to worship something, you know. God has provided the way of our salvation. He has provided the way that we can have a relationship with him. All through the Old Testament here, as we were looking to the Jewish people especially, he had a relationship with them. And they were to obey him and follow him. And then when Jesus came, he came to save us from our sins, didn't he? And he came to provide the way of salvation for all those who would trust in him. And that's all that we can count on. Jesus has come to save us from our sins. And Israel needed to be reminded of this great truth. Their country had been defeated in war. They had been taken captive by the enemy. They were tempted to think that the gods of the Babylonians were more powerful than the God of Israel. You know? That's what the enemy told them, wasn't it? You know, well, God can't protect you. You know, and they took them over and all of the suffering and anguish that people go through, and it makes them start to think, well, is God really so powerful? You know? Or are these other gods able to overcome him? And Isaiah's pointing out the folly of this kind of thinking and makes it clear in his writings that it was not the weakness of God which could not deliver his people, but rather it was the will of God which allowed him to punish them for their sins, that they were not following after him, they were not obeying him, and so he allowed them to be taken captive and as punishment for their sins and disobedience. So we have here, we need to realize that God is sovereign in all of his ways, and that whatever he does is right. Yeah. You believe that? God doesn't do anything wrong, does he? No. Well, we might start thinking about it and think, well, how can all this be with all of the disease and all of the weaknesses and all of the tragedies and the wars? And where is God? Well, he's in the same place he's always been. And he's in charge. It is mankind that needs to take the blame for these things that are going wrong. Right? We are the ones that do that because we are sinful. And God is always there, and someday everything will be made right. So, we find here the supremacy of God in verse 21. Let's look. It says, have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are like grasshoppers that stretch out the heavens as a curtain and spreads them as a tent to dwell in. You like that? It says, he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. I mean, come on. This was a long, long time ago that Isaiah wrote this. But he doesn't talk about, you know, anything, you know, straight, flat. No, we have an earth that's circled, a sphere, and that God is over all. Israel did not know. The people had been told by their great leader Moses and the other prophets, but they were not ignorant heathen who had never heard of God. They knew. But it's on the circle of the earth. It's interesting to notice that the Bible presents the earth as being a sphere and not flat. I have a quotation here from Marv Rosenthal, a missionary executive. He says of this verse, and now of this, God, who their forefathers knew in ages past, Isaiah will remind them that his throne is the circle of the heavens, which arches over the earth, and to whom from his inaccessible height men appear as small as grasshoppers. Jehovah, the God of Israel, spread out the blue sky like a thin, transparent garment and stretched it out above the earth like a tent in which to dwell. That is, God stretches out the sky as an abode, like the Oriental stretched out his awning over the open court in the center of his house to shelter it in rainy or hot weather. All of this is to indicate that his supremacy is over all, that he reigns not only from shore to shore, but over every part of an infinite universe. So God is over everything. He is in control. Then he sets up one ruler and takes down another. It says in verse 23, he brings the princes to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth as vanity. You know, he could put up one and take down another, right? God is able to do. Sometimes we wonder, why doesn't he take down some of them? But anyway, that's beside the point, isn't it? Anyhow, his day is coming. Whoever that is I'm talking about. But anyhow, even the greatest king only rules by God's permission and as long as he allows. We were talking to Sunday school this morning about who was the greatest king. See, you finally found it, Josiah. It says that there was no one before or after him that was better, right? So there you got. You have it. But anyway, here we find that God is the one who is the absolute ruler. And we need to give him allegiance. In verse 25, it says, to whom then will you liken me? Or shall I be equal? He says that several times, doesn't he? Think about that. Who is like God? Where are you going to find anyone that's remotely like him? And so the Lord cannot be compared to any other God or person. He is unique above all. He is the Holy One. We saw that in Isaiah chapter 6, where the angels were crying out continually, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And then we find the promises of God relating to this. In verse 26, he says, lift up your eyes on high. Behold, who has created these things that brings out the hosts by number? He calleth them all by their names, the greatness of his might. For that he is strong in power, not one fails. Why do you say, O Jacob, speak, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord? My judgment is passed over. You know, we might think this morning, you know, our lives, well, nobody knows I did that, right? Nobody knows about this. It's all hidden, right? But there is one who knows. We can't hide it from him, whatever it might be. I mean, I'm not talking about anybody in particular. You know that. But anyhow, we have to look at God is the one who knows. And he says, you can't hide from him. Have you not known? Have you not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not faint and is never weary? He's always on the job. Says, lift up your eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, who made the heavens and the earth. He's the one that we look to. And we find that we have salvation through him, through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's foolish to think that God does not know all about us. He's concerned about us, and that he will not be just in his dealings with us. He looks at us, each and every one. Then coming on down, verse 28, it says, hast thou not known that the everlasting God, the Lord, is creating all this? He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. See, he's the one who gives us the power to keep going. And then these last verses, so beautiful. It says, even the youth shall faint and be weary, the young men shall utterly fall. It's not a question of our physical strength or our human ability, no. Even the young people, the strong, it's not that. But it says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. It's from the Lord that we receive these blessings. God does not faint nor grow weary. Behold, he that keepeth thee shall neither slumber nor sleep. There's no searching of his understanding. He is the all-knowing one. We are limited. We get tired, don't we? But there is no limit to His knowledge. He knows all about us. He knows what's best. We do not always understand why things happen as they do, but He does. And we see His greatness, His power. It says that people are like grass that is soon gone. You know, we had talked about that yesterday, didn't we? Now, he was 82 years old, right? 82 years old. A little older than I am, actually. But not much. But anyway, we know that we are grass. And sooner or later, the grass is going to die, right? But that's not the end, because to be absent from the Lord, to be absent from what? From the body. Is that right? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's the most important thing. It's what Steve was saying about Jim yesterday. He's with the Lord, and we're looking forward to that day when we'll meet Him again. So then we find the idols of men are helpless, but the Lord is the creator of all things. He's able to meet every need that we have. God does not abandon His children in the time of need. He gives power to the faint and strength to the weak. Those who trust in themselves will fall, but those who place their faith and trust in the Lord will win the victory. And He's going to keep us like the eagles. This is a beautiful picture of the eagle. You see him soaring up there in the sky. You know? How in the world does he stay up there? Well, there he goes. And he says that in Deuteronomy 32:11, it says, as an eagle stirreth up her nest, she flutters over her young, spreads abroad her wings, takes them, bears them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. Just like the eagle, we have that wonderful opportunity of knowing God and serving Him. Now these are the comforting words that God gives to those who trust in Him. This is the point. He loved us so much that He gave His only begotten Son to die for us, that we might have everlasting life, because we're all sinners. We talked about that this morning as well. We're all sinners, and we are on our way to our destruction. But Jesus came to save us from our sins, to give us eternal life, and all we have to do is believe in Him. Trust in Him. Put our confidence in Him. Repent of our sins and turn to Him. And have the salvation that He offers so freely. The Scripture says that He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So if you have never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this is the opportunity to do it, right? Just right now. Put your faith in Him. Say, Lord, I believe You died for me. All you've got to do is trust in Him. Put your faith in Him and turn to Him for your salvation. That's what He says. So we can claim this wonderful promise that God has given to us, that we can have His salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, as we're in the Old Testament here, but if we would look over into the New Testament, we would see Jesus came to save us from our sins. And He has come to give us everlasting life. And it's open for anyone who is willing to come to Him and put their faith and trust in Him. Father, we thank You this morning so much that You are the true and the living God, the one who is above all others. And You have done so much for us. We thank You most especially for our salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, who came in obedience to the Father's will and obeyed him throughout his life and went to the cross and died in our place, that we might be redeemed from our sin and have everlasting life. So, Lord, speak to each one of our hearts today. Encourage us, strengthen us. May we know that you are always with us, and may we follow in the way that you would have us to go. May Christ Jesus, our Savior, be glorified. We pray in his name. Amen.